Good afternoon. Welcome to another episode of Logan's Devotions. It's great to be together. Wonderful to open up God's Word for another day and see what He has to say. We're turning through to Luke, but before I read our passage, let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your Word, and we do pray that you would bless it to us, that we might understand it and profit from it. Open our eyes to see. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Luke chapter 24, picking up at verse 44. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." And he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple blessing God. Well, yesterday, or last week, I should say, we looked at the previous section and we saw that Jesus came as the mediator to his disciples. And he put peace upon them. And we talked about the way that Jesus, by going through the cross, had purchased a reconciliation, a peace from God for the disciples and also for you and I. And having done that and having calmed their hearts and, in a sense, brought them into a state of peace, he now goes about establishing them in the work. He explains why he did what he did, why it had to happen. And then he prepares them for the next stage of the redemptive plan of God. And so he begins by establishing them in the truth, by explaining to them why things worked out the way they did. And he begins by pointing them to his own words. He says to them that when I was with you, I spoke to you while I was with you that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. In other words, my dear disciples, I told you all about this, and yet you didn't understand. And why didn't they understand? Because they did not have eyes and minds to see and perceive what Christ was saying to them. As I have said to you already, I think two devotions ago, the word of Christ by itself will not achieve anything. Not because the word of Christ is not sufficient, but because our hearts are hardened and dead, and our minds cannot comprehend, and so we need to be able to understand. We need to be made ready to receive. And so what Christ does is exactly what we all need when we are spiritually deaf and spiritually incapable of understanding. He opens their minds. And so in verse 45 it says, he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. He gave them hearts to believe, eyes to see, and minds to understand what they needed to. And having opened their minds, he then explains in detail the redemptive plan of God. He says to them that the Christ, it's written in the scriptures, that the Christ should suffer on the third day, rise from the dead. They've seen that, they've understood that now. And now he projects forward, he shows where this is going, that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. He says to them, I came and died and I rose from the dead so that forgiveness reconciliation with God should be taken not just to the Jews, but to everyone. For this purpose I came, Jesus says, so that forgiveness might be published to the nations. Because God's plan is far greater than just Jerusalem or just Israel, but it is encompassing the entire world. It is to bring about the restoration of all peoples, all nations, all tribes, all tongues, so that when we get to Revelation and the end, we will see many tribes and tongues and nations gathered around the throne of God, worshipping him and giving praise and adoration to him. So that, as Paul would say to the Ephesians, the loving kindness of God might be manifested in the objects of his grace. But how will that take place? Well, this forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed through witnesses. And so Jesus says to them, you are witnesses of these things. In other words, you are the ones who will proclaim these things. You are the ones that will take this message, that will bear testimony to the things that I have just declared to you. You will be the ones to do it. Now, if you were in the disciples' shoes, that would have been a pretty intimidating thing to hear, right? And you'd see the comforting words that Jesus brings to them. He says, behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. In other words, I will not leave you alone, but I will send the power of God. And of course, we know he's referring to the Holy Spirit, right? The day of Pentecost. He says, you won't be alone to do this work. You will be clothed with power from on high. You will receive the promise of the Father. Now, of course, this is summary, short form of, I'm sure, what Jesus said to them. Jesus, we find out in Acts, spent a long time with them, teaching them, preparing them. And they knew that they were to wait for the gift of the Holy Spirit to come, so that Peter can stand up in Acts and say, this is the very thing that was promised. You see, God knows that these disciples cannot carry out the mission without his help. And so Jesus offers them this wonderful assurance as they take on this mission, as they begin to think of the work that has been laid out before them. He offers them this wonderful assurance and hope that they need not be worried or afraid, because, as he said in this gospel already, it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom of God. And then we get this wonderful response of the disciples. Jesus takes them out to Bethany. He lifts up his hands and he blesses them. And it's a beautiful sight, because as he's blessing them with his hands raised, which, side note, is why we ministers, when we bless people on behalf of Christ, raise our hands. But as he's blessing them, he goes up into heaven. Now, what's really beautiful about that is that the last image burnt into their brains is Jesus Christ with his hands lifted up in blessing. Why is that significant? Because it's like Jesus is saying to them, though I ascend to the Father, yet I continue to bless you. I continue to bestow peace upon you. And so that the last image in their hearts and minds is the image of Jesus Christ bestowing blessing upon them. And what do the disciples do? Well, they return to Jerusalem as they're commanded, but what do they do there? We're told they worshipped him, they returned to Jerusalem with joy, and were continually in the temple blessing God. Why that response? Well, they had been bestowed with a great privilege to be witnesses, a great promise that they would receive help, and a great blessing that the kingdom of God would go forth to the ends of the earth, and they would be a part of it. They had received peace, salvation, reconciliation. Would there be any more fitting response than worship and praise? You see, this is the response of every heart that is affected by the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is to lift up our heart and mind in adoration and praise to him who bestows it upon us. And so you see, the mark of anyone that has been affected by Christ, had their minds open, is to praise the living God. And so it's not surprising that when we read Revelation, what is marked all throughout the book is worship. And so may it be for you and I. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the end of this book, the end of Luke, and the assurances that we receive within it, the comfort, the consolation. And we pray that you would indeed make our hearts overflow with praise to the King. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.